Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love Him. His blessings are upon us. His blessing is upon this work. I bless this work in the name of Jesus. I bless the work that God put on all those who love His ways, love His heart, who are sincere to Him. And I thank the Lord for that. Satan can't reverse it either. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given us your authority to do your will in this earth in order that it may be as it is in heaven under your direction. And I like that last part. That's how we do it, folks. Our power, our supreme power is in yielding to the Lord. It's not in our might or abilities. And Zechariah did an excellent job pointing that out. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And Jesus said it again, without me, you should do nothing. Those are the forgotten scriptures these days. Well, with the exception of those that God raised up to trust Him. Some people are trusting Him. And that's why there's such a great awakening. Now, sometimes people expect the awakening of today to look just like the one of old. It's similar, but this one's different. Knowledge has increased. A lot of people that are being awakened, they went to church, they saw how, they saw things, they drew near to the Lord, they yielded to Him, they ran right into cold religion, just like a man would ride into a brick wall. And a lot of people have been misunderstood, offended, belittled. And also, the world system has a different mindset. It's an opposite mindset. It's a mindset in opposition to God. So, I did a broadcast a few weeks ago, it talked about how people try to hear God's word with Satan's ears. And the Lord had me to use Deuteronomy chapter 28. And as I read it, I explained how a proud man would hear it, or I used a woman. The woman was proud and her husband was humble. That's how I did it. Now, you know, and I tried to make it understandable that can go either way. The husband could be proud and the wife could be humble. But see, anybody with proud ears, they're going to hear what they want out of the scripture and reject what they don't want out of the scripture. Now, that's the short version. You have to go back and listen to that broadcast. And it's not far away from this one, but it's a good idea to listen to all of them because they all go together. Now, it's important to understand what page God is on so we can be on His page, so we can do what He want to do. And Pastor Jim talked about yesterday how people try to turn Jesus into their mascot. Like, you know, politically wise, the Democrats, they got a Democratic Jesus. And then the Republicans have a Republican Jesus. But you can't do that. You have to go by how He said things should be and do it and do precisely what He said. And that's the only way to win. But if you start thinking that Jesus is on your side and helping you do what you want to do, you miss the point. You're creating another version of who Jesus is that's really not Him at all. And so men have done this so long with idolatry. You know, if you get an idol going and people get into idol worship, you can have that idol, people give their allegiance to it. You can make people think that idol is what God wants you to do. Well, the idol wants you to do this. I can prove it. They were giving their children to Molech, burning them up, a blessing from God that they're supposed to be training and teaching to honor God. They're offering their idols to a demon god and calling it God. God never had Moses do nothing that crazy. He never had Jacob to do nothing crazy like that. He never had Joseph to do nothing crazy. Jacob, Isaac, Abraham. Nobody did that. And the sacrifices was their best livestock. And they had to be clean animals to cover our crazy sins. But people took it. They, you know, somebody got into that religion and it's usually centered around the flesh, such as sex and power. And these gods will let you do whatever you want. But God said those things are unclean. And it shouldn't ever exist. All the ways of darkness should never be. That's, God didn't create that. That's something else. That came out of the heart of the wicked. But God's, there's one time the Lord told me that there's no room for sin in his kingdom. And I told the church that. I didn't even get to finish my thought those days. Because I was sharing with them something the Lord told me. I said, well, the Lord said to me, there's no room for sin in this. And he said, there's no room for sin in my kingdom. I said it first person, just like he gave it to me. Well, and then the pastor, well, hold on. And he cut me off. I didn't get to finish the thoughts. But anyway, this is the problem. Sin will destroy you. There's no version of sin that don't work to destroy you. Every version of sin, whether it's a sin under death or a sin that's not under death, all of it is destructive if you stick with it long enough. That's why the Lord had to cut our time back to 120 years. And if you're going to be wicked, 70 or 80 years, or less than that even. But you're supposed to live out your days of 120 years. And you do it by faith, and you do it because you want to. And David said that he would satisfy you with life. When you're satisfied, tell God, I'm satisfied. But first say, Lord, help me do all this in your heart. That's the main thing. See, when we were taught faith, you know, if your heart is set to the heart of God, faith will work so much easier in your life. But when you have the ability to believe and ask God whatever you will, sometimes you won't think like he does, and you'll believe God for something. That's why it's so important to fill your heart with the word, and you stay on the same page with God. You stay in agreement with him. Well, sometimes people say, well, by faith, as long as I'm working towards going out to all the world and preaching the gospel, I can do it the way I want. That's not the way it is. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without his direction, Jesus took a lot of time to show us that he got direction from God, direction from the Holy Spirit. He didn't just go out there, man, this is a good idea. I guess I'll pick Peter, James, and John. And he did that by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In fact, everything he did, even down to picking Judas, it was by the Holy Ghost. The reason I say these things, I know how powerful things will be if people would get the revelation of keeping the Holy Spirit first. See, we get saved through Christ. Of course we do. And after salvation, and after we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sometimes people have the illusion that, well, now I can just use my brain and I can ask for whatever I want and need and it'll work. And I pray for people with understanding. That's with understanding. All right. But when you pray in the spirit, now God is helping you pray for what you can't see, with things that you really need, whether you see them or not, whether you even know they exist or not. And so when you follow God and you learn his protocols, then he's the head. Now you can do impossible things. But so many wonderful men and women of God, they pattern themselves after others to the demise of their ministry. And the reason I say to the demise of their ministry is because they cannot fulfill God's perfect will unless they follow him afresh. Not just by salvation. See, sometimes people think, well, I know without me I can do nothing. Without Jesus I can do nothing. But so I got saved. Now I can do all things through Christ. But they still don't allow God to direct their life. They don't present their life as a living sacrifice. There's only one way to do that. Lord, take my life and do something with it. And you mean it. And as he gives you instructions, you do that. And you do it exactly like he say. And what happens is, God will give them a direction, an assignment, a protocol. And they wonder if it was really God or not. Then they go ask whoever they trust the most. And hopefully they're guided by the Holy Spirit. Some people, I've seen people give pastors advice. They don't even pray. They didn't take it to the Lord in prayer. They just told him what to do off the cuff. And that's haphazard. And you can't do that in ministry. The only reason I know that is because the Lord trained me that way. He trained me not, that's not the way to do it. See, some people, you know, what calling it, if a person get called to preach, what usually, the way it really usually go down is they tell the pastor, and he give them a trial sermon, which is, you know, he going to preach some more. It's really not a trial sermon. They let him preach. And then some of them go to seminary and some of them don't. And that's all they do. After they preach their first sermon, they might preach somewhere else. They might not preach but 30 times in their whole life. There's a lot of people been called to the ministry, and they're not being governed by God and what to do. They're not being sanctioned. Some of them hadn't preached in years, and they've been called to the ministry now, but they hadn't preached in years. And that, as bad off as this world is, that don't make sense to me. There is an assignment for you, personally, even if you're not a preacher. But culture is not yielded to God, especially in America. America is not a kingdom, and a lot of preachers come from America. It's a democracy or a republic. It's a republic, and it's a democracy. So the people vote on what they want. But you can't do God that way. You have to yield to him. Because God is our king. Is he your king? If he's your king, you yield to him. He'll give you what he wants you to do. He already designed you for, created you for. And sometimes people bump into his will. And like my pastor said, they have a faith accident. Now they want everybody. I believe Jesus said the church say come. And I believe every child of God wants people saved. And it's frustrating when they don't know how to pull it off. And how to run their ministry and how to be a blessing, even how to witness. But the truth of the matter is, if you live the life of Jesus, if you just live the life of Jesus, you're preaching all the time. You just don't realize it. And I felt that way. And I do what God tell me to do. And I still felt like, Lord, am I being fair? I know what's about to go down. I know the rapture is going to happen. I know that people are going to be left here. And they're going to be struggling. And they're not going to know what to do. And I know a lot of things because God taught me. I said, and I tell people that as best I can. And as much as I know how. Everybody I know, I let them know Jesus, the Lord is going to return soon. I tell them about salvation as much as I know how. And I was almost in despair about it. But I didn't get to that point. Because I decided months ago I was not going to despair. Well, now 2 years ago, I decided that. I said, I'm not going to be in despair because people made the wrong choice. I'm going to live my life. I had to make that decision because I know how it's going to go down. I listen to Steve Quayle, and I know what the governments are actually doing. Not only that, I listen to Steve Quayle a lot, and Timothy Averino, and L.A. Marzulli. These guys deal with not only end-time things, but they deal with what's going on in the shadows because God raise them up to do this. You know, people would think you're crazy if you talk about the UFO problem. There's a UFO problem. And through their research, Timothy Averino said that 5% of our population has been abducted. 5%. That's a huge problem. Now, the enemy's not going to go and broadcast what he's doing in the shadows. He's trying to keep it secret. And then he do it at a reduced rate enough so that when it happens, it's such a rare occurrence that people don't know who to talk to. They go to the church and talk to the pastor. Well, that's spooky. There's nothing about UFOs in the Bible, but they don't know it. See, then the giant problem. People are seeing sightings. You know, Skinwalker Ranch. That crazy stuff is going on. And these are intelligent people studying this. It's on TV now. And the world is eating it up. But they're eating it up from the wrong perspective. Because the only way to know some things is spend time with the Holy Spirit and he will show you. He gave me one dream about giants. And it, it's not my thing. But I listen to people who do the research. Because when the Holy Spirit raised somebody up, it's up to you to receive what they're saying. Love believes all things of God. If God's trying to tell you something, you don't say, well, that don't fit my paradigm. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to stay out of that lane. No, Jesus said that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And there are people going through devastating, demonic, alien problems, and they need counsel. And the church turned the other way. Jesus didn't do that. He went to where the demonic man was and kicked those demons out of his life. And the man, next time they saw him, he was clothed and in his right mind, and he wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus said, no, go back and tell your friends how God had mercy on you. See, the wisdom of God, God knew that man was, he was safe. Jesus wouldn't have done that if he wasn't safe. He was safe. Demons have no covenant with God. And I talked about that briefly in last broadcast, that which is right next door to this one, of course it is. But the giants have no covenant. That's why when the angels marry earth women, their children were huge to frighten man who has a covenant with God, or who has access to a covenant with God. Every man born in this earth that's not a hybrid has access to a covenant with God. And that's where, see, and these giants are in our history more than we realize. And, you know, through good research, we find out, hey, this stuff is real. There were giants in Sardinia, in Peru, North and South America also. And the Lord gave me one dream about them, and there is a problem. It's a real thing. Now, when people start seeing what comes upon the earth, their heart's going to fail. And nobody's prepared for that. And I understand these things. So I said, Lord, am I being fair with this? I tell people stuff, and, you know, with their modern mind, they'll think I'm crazy. And the Lord spoke something to me that comforted me. See, when you live for him and you do, and you have the right motives, God will show you things. He said to me, you're obvious. He said, you are obvious. And it goes back to the reference Jesus said, a city on a hill can't be hid. To everybody you know, they know where you stand. They know what you believe. They know the warnings that you spoke, and they can't forget it. He said, you are obvious, and they know your motives are pure, and they know this. But do they use that information? That's to be meant. You know, I can't tell when people are listening or not. I hope so. I hope they use my knowledge, the knowledge that I got from the Holy Spirit. So in every minister's life, men or women, boys or girls, in everybody's life, that's a Christian. So you can't leave out the children. He said your sons and daughters will prophesy. Even your servants will prophesy. Anybody that just love God, God can use you mightily. And he can direct you. He can grow you up. He can help you get to the point you need to be. You don't have to worry about the finances in his sight. You can prosper. You have to learn. You learn it. Why not just learn his protocols? Lord, if you say, well, Lord, I don't have many resources, you know, to many people, I'm a poor man or a poor woman. And I don't really know how to change the facts that I got. But teach me how to make money, or teach me how to prosper. And now the Holy Spirit can show you something. Without me, you can do nothing. All right, you have the covenant through the blood. You have healing through the broken body of Jesus and the blood. You've been given a relationship with God by Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Spirit came to be what's greater than any encyclopedia to you, to guide you into all truth. You have the resources, and it comes out of your agreement with God. And so what the enemy say, I got to stop this. I can't let them learn God's ways. So he put out interference, false thoughts, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. That, see, any kind of sin, it will hinder you, whether it's under death or not. Yeah, all sin is very divisive, and it works against everything of God. And you're going to live with conflict if you don't ask God to help you. Even though you're washed in the blood and you've been healed by Jesus' stripes, you're healed in all the covenants, you got authority over the devil. And then when you study, you can fill your heart with his word. But when you yield to him, then he can teach you something. As you fill your heart with the word, the voice of the Holy Spirit will become more obvious to you. It did for me. When you worship God and go in his presence, you'll be able to compose yourself and think and ask questions. because the word will strengthen you. When people, sometimes when people fall out and they can't think about the questions they wanted to ask God, that's because they're weak. And the Lord loves them, of course he does. And his spirit is overwhelming. When the Lord's presence come around, you know, you fall out sometimes. But sometimes when the Holy Spirit come around, he want to commune with you. And I noticed that every time I would get in his presence through worship, I said, next time I get in his presence, I'm going to ask him this and that. And then I get in his presence, I fall on the floor. Until I started studying. That's how I know this. Because it was a custom of mine to go in his presence. I did it all the time, every day. But then we started communing after I started reading 15 chapters a day. And after about 3 months of doing that faithfully. Well, that sounds like too much trouble. Really? Too much trouble to get to know the Lord? Are you kidding me? And so many people want to be in full-time ministry. And they still don't pray. They still don't seek the Lord. And they still don't go in this prayer. They counsel people all day. Or they play golf or something. Or watch soap operas. I don't know. Whatever they do. But if you're really serious, like Elder Lewis said, if you get down to business with God, he'll get down to business with you. If you keep having the same reoccurring problem, that's indicative that there needs to be a down-to-business conversation with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. When I have reoccurring problems, I say, okay, Lord, this is enough of this. I got to learn something. There's something I'm not doing right, and I need your guidance. And then he can help me. He can help me cut down on waste, the same problems that hold me back. God loves us, and he's going to help us. He's here for us. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Of course we can't. And if you think you can, you've been lied to. That's a deception. And see, through sin, the enemy can turn a ministry into New Age. A lot of people went New Age. They don't even know it. They think the Laodicean church went New Age. They thought they was of God. They thought God was on their side. They believed another Jesus and everything. They believed the word amiss. He said they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. They were naked. They didn't have any righteousness. They were blind. They couldn't see their condition. Way out of covenant. They were wretched. They had no covenant with God anymore, no agreement. And they were miserable because of it. And they were poor. Now they had possessions. And the devil had them thinking, see, God bless you with this possession, so you're right with him. That doesn't mean anything. Even if you're anointed, that doesn't mean that you're right with God either. But if the glory cloud comes down and you still alive, that means there's no sin in you. So, even if there's no sin in you at that time, you still might have problems that are not going anywhere until you learn God's ways and how to follow his direction. See, there are people who receive revelation, and I listen to men, people that actually do these things, Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Copeland, they have debt-free ministries. They're on TV every day, all day, somewhere, or minute or multiple times on the day, in every city, and that's a blessing. But they are very faithful. Everything that they preach, it was revelation to them, and they do it from the heart level. It's not just something to get over one time. This is how I live. This is how I'm going to be. And the last. I think one of the most recent broadcasts I heard from Jesse Duplantis, he said he remembers God. Even though he said something to me. I've watched people, when they prosper, they kind of get comfortable. And the things of God don't mean as much. And you know, the success can be a distraction. But he said, I remember the Lord. I remember the Lord. I remember him. He pointed out when they were prospering in Canaan land to remember the Lord. And he stood, that scripture became revelation to him. And that's how you stay focused. You have to You have to consider what Jesus is saying. As long as you're focused and as long as you're doing what Jesus said, do you're all right. I made a confession out of that. I see it because I started seeing that every time God give me something, the culture didn't always agree. Religious culture didn't all, Pentecostal culture didn't always agree with the revelation that God gave, because they didn't, that the, whoever they looked to didn't do it. So that some people only do what their pastor do or their elder do or their bishop. And they will not deviate. You know, you just an upcoming preacher that's probably off track. You know, that's how they don't say it. That they're not rude, but that's how people treat you. That's how they, you know, that's how they treat the revelation. And some people get offended because you got something, it didn't come through the channel they thought it should come through. And sometimes it's just new to them. But nevertheless, when God is talking, it is noticeable. And it's obvious that it came from God. So when God tell you something obvious, when he spoke to the rich young ruler to sell all he have, give to the poor and come and follow him, he understood what Jesus was saying. He knew that that was the way to go, but he wouldn't do it because that his finances and his possessions had a hold on him. If you have a sin idol, you cannot. If you gave it your allegiance, you will obey it. That's what sin does to people. Even against God, you'll still obey what's in your heart. So if the only way to do this that I know is to trust God with all of your life. Because then he'll keep your allegiance and you won't get off track. Things won't be a problem anymore. And you'll see it as a possession. And as you gain success, you'll remember who gave it to you. And you know, every time the Lord do something for me and bless me, I love him and I look to him more. And I value my relationship with him more than I value everything I got. Everything I got is a bonus because I'm complete in Jesus. My wife is a bonus. My daughter is a bonus. And then, you know, they are high priorities to me. All of my children. But compared to God, they're just a bonus. Now, that don't mean I don't love my wife and all of my children. I love them very much. I'll protect them with my life. But I tell you this, they compared to Jesus, they are just a bonus. Now, all of my possessions, I like my house a lot. I love where I live. It's not the best looking house in the world, but I like it. And I love to sit on my deck in the backyard. My house is elevated above what's in the backyard. So I get to see the sunset. All the trees that's behind my house are on a lower, it's like I'm on a mountain compared, because those trees, the trees are not that high. So I get to see the sunset. I call that my big screen TV. Now you can't get that everywhere. Now I can find better houses, but I'll never find another backyard like this one, or it'll be very difficult. So sometimes you got to appreciate what you have. And I like my swimming pool. I like to go swimming. And I got me an above ground pool with a deck around it, and I like it. Some people, they got to have an in-ground. I like mine because it's the same level all the way across. I just can't dive in it. That's all right, though. I like to play in the water. So I'm good. And I love driving the car the Lord blessed me with. I drive it everywhere I go. It's not a trophy. But all of those wonderful things is just a bonus. But God is that's who I love. And I wake up talking to the Lord. I go to bed talking to the Lord. And I talk to him much of the day. Because when the Lord guides us, everything that he speaks is sanctioned. I mean, he can tell you what to do and it'll work. Now, I also want to share this. There is a blessing in doing what God directs you to do versus doing somebody's good idea. Because as good as man is and as much as he loves everybody, we just don't have the insights that God has. And the Lord thinks of everything when he does something. He didn't just give us, I'm going to give you an example. He didn't just give us healing, for instance. By Jesus' stripes, he's healed. He raised up people to show us things. Now, what if everybody tried to put God in a box? Or just they believe God will, they believe he healed, and All you have to do is ask for it. Okay. Some people have trouble because they lack experience in just believing God for their healing. Now, so the Holy Spirit put it on Kenneth Hagin's heart. He said 7 ways to get healed. And the first one was demand in Jesus' name that sickness leave. Now, every believer can do this. And then the second one is pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Every believer can do that. The third one is agree in prayer. Those that can't do the first two, they can get somebody to believe with them for their healing. But it's not over yet. He said the fifth way is lay hands on the sick. Now, people that have no experience, they can at least go to the elders or the pastors. The elders are those that have a relationship with the Lord. They've been, you know, just like John talked about he addressed the young men and the fathers and even the babes, you know. Some people grow in the Lord and mature. So those that grow in the Lord and mature, that's what, go to them and lay hands on the sick and you will get healed. In Peter's day, when the apostles came to town, whoever they prayed for got healed and they believed them. Anybody that asked for prayer, and there's no incidents where somebody asked one of the apostles to pray for them and they didn't get healed. They always got healed. Sometimes they didn't even get a chance to ask and they still got healed. And then the sixth way, receive through the gifts of healing. This is something that anybody can do. People that don't know God, an anointed man can come and pray for them and they will get healed. They just allow them to let them pray for them. See, the Lord, we want to show himself strong on our behalf. And the seventh way is know that healing belongs to you. And you can claim it. So the Lord thinks of everything. He's not limited. The Lord put these protocols in order so that everybody can benefit from